I'm now joined with Colm Ryder. He's from Dublin Cycling Campaign to discuss a number of current issues in relation to cycling. Good afternoon, Colm, and thank you very much for joining us.
Johnny, great to be with you again to give bits and pieces of news.
Absolutely. Colm, first of all, within the new programme for government is a commitment to allocate 10% of the total transport capital budget to cycling projects and a further 10% for pedestrian infrastructure as well. And that's an overall commitment set at 20% of the 2020 capital budget.
Of the transport budget.
Yeah, which is €360 million per year for the lifetime of the government. Now, it all sounds great news for cyclists. What's your view on all of it?
Obviously, as cycling and the cycling campaign, a cycling advocacy group, we're absolutely delighted. We have been pushing for years in relation to the Department of Transport, making budget submissions, meeting officials, talking about it. But obviously, under the new government programme, and obviously with the effect of the Greens in government, it's certainly making a huge difference. Basically, it's about €1 million a day to be spent on walking and cycling. This is a huge step forward, a step change in relation to how transport is looked at in the country overall. So we certainly think it's going to make a big difference. It's going to encourage more people to walk and cycle as cycling becomes safer, segregated routes. It'll just make a huge difference overall.
Absolutely. Would you agree that the number of people using bikes now instead of public transport has increased enormously, since the pandemic lockdown?
But definitely the pandemic and the COVID lockdown has encouraged an incredible surge in sales of bikes. So much so that most bike shops are just literally cannot get the bikes in fast enough to actually sell them. There's a shortage of bikes on the market at present. It's amazing how many people are rediscovering the bike and looking for good spaces to cycle, looking for safe spaces to cycle. I think that's a big drive for people generally.
Okay. Would you envisage more and more people will travel now to and from work by bike, with the new segregated cycleways in place? And also, of course, children travelling to and from school as well.
Oh, for sure. I think that there is going to be a big push by this government, by all local authorities, including in Dublin area, to particularly to get children to cycle to school and to be able to cycle and walk to school safely. We had a discussion on this on the programme a while back about school streets in Malahide, where there was an initiative made by Fingal County Council, and which has been very successful in taking cars away from the school gates, in freeing up the areas around the school gates, and so that children wouldn't feel unsafe running out of the gates of the school and possibly running onto the street, things like that. So there are initiatives like that, but also routes to school are going to be really important. And it's like the children are the adults of the future. And if they don't learn to cycle or don't feel safe about cycling or comfortable cycling, it's definitely going to make a difference in the next generation.
Yes. Also within the programme is to conduct and review road traffic legislation, I beg your pardon, to prioritise the safety of walking and cycling. In your view, what would need to be changed in terms of, the Road Traffic Act?
Again, that's another area that we have been pressing the department. There is a particular road safety section in the Department of Transport that looks at these issues. Very simple things like which you have in a lot of other countries. For instance, what they call contraflow cycling, where you can cycle up a street against the traffic where there is enough space. And it's a case of slowing vehicles down generally, but also that cyclists can be safe taking an alternate direction. In other words, being able to go on straighter routes if you're heading from A to B on a bike, things like that. Things like turning left if you get a red light as a cyclist, but that you see there's no traffic coming, that you can actually go left with warning. They're the simple kind of measures that could be introduced.
Okay. Tell us what's in the new programme for government, Colm, in relation to the development of an integrated national greenway strategy. There's a lot in there, isn't there?
Yes, there is an awful lot in there. And I think already there is a national greenway strategy which was published in 2018. And that's being worked on at present. There are funds being allocated to develop the greenways. Now, we're not absolutely clear at this point in time what extra funding is going to that area. At the moment, it's approximately 22 million per year, which is being allocated to greenways, and that they so we expect that that will be a larger fund within the new government program, but we don't know the exact figures as yet. Johnny, I wonder, could I speak a bit about the COVID measures that are being taken place in the local areas here in Dublin?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I think COVID, obviously, the pandemic has engendered, I mean, people need to be safe on the street. They need to feel safe. A lot of people still are very tentative about going out, about going into shops, about going into spaces, on going on public transport. So it's really important that less people can travel on public transport because of the restrictions. And if people are going back to work, are going shopping, are going for some kind of entertainment, there needs to be other alternatives. So what the local authorities in the Dublin area, but particularly Dublin City Council, who have a massive COVID mobility program, they're introducing increased spaces on footpaths. They're introducing in new cycles, protected cycle lanes all the way around the city centre in general. And it's fantastic to see, and I think it hopefully will encourage people to get out to walk and cycle, because something has to be done. More people have to cycle because less people can take public transport. So as the country gets back to working again, it is just really important. Dublin City Council have a dedicated page to COVID mobility. I'd advise any of your listeners to just maybe take a look on the Dublin City website, dublincity.ie, and go onto the link for COVID, and there's a special page in that telling all the things that have been done. Fantastic developments being done within Dublin City on those areas, and also in Dunleary Markdown, they are working on Dundrum Village, on Dalkey Village. They've already done some work in Blackrock Village, and it's also improving the public realm, making the villages easier places to walk and cycle, easier place for people just to meet and to greet each other. And I think that those kind of initiatives are really important.
Absolutely. The idea to erect bollards to, protect sections of cycle lanes, it's excellent, I have to say. Are these temporary measures, or, is it the intention to make it permanent?
Well, certainly at this point, they are labelled temporary. We would be hoping, and I think the initiative is there within the councils generally to improve cycling and walking facilities overall. And so we would hope that they would become permanent, and particularly as people understand that it makes a difference in terms of how of the safety of people on the roads. That's a really important issue, and I think we would think and hope that they will become permanent.
Okay, and actually these bollards, they not only prevent traffic from swerving into a cycle lane, but also it eliminates illegal parking, which can be an awful nuisance for cyclists.
Yes, and a dangerous one, particularly for what we call newbie cyclists, or people who are just getting on their bike for the first time. If you are going in a cycle lane, next thing that there's a van or a car parked in front of you, what do you do? Do you go onto the footpath, which is illegal to do, or do you veer out into traffic? And do you feel safe in doing that? So it's very important to have some kind of protection. Now, in long-term schemes that are being developed, protection will not be, there won't be sort of bollards, and sometimes bollards can be quite ugly, can deface the environment, but they will be made more permanent with some kind of proper curbing.
Okay, right. In the long term, Colm, wouldn't there be a need, to erect more lockable parking facilities for bikes in and around city centre, supermarkets, shopping centres, cinemas, even hotels and working places? What's your view?
Oh, very much so. Very much. I mean, obviously, if more people are getting on bikes, more people are going to need to park. It is very obvious when you travel around the city centre in Dublin in particular that there isn't enough space for bicycles that are parked everywhere against lampposts, sometimes quite awkwardly in blocking footpaths and whatnot. There are more parking spaces needed. Now, Dublin City Council have a programme to develop bike parking spaces all over the city, and they're working on that, and they're actually seeking the views of people in the city, of citizens, on where bike parking might be necessary. If you think you should have a bike parking space close by you, let the city council know. You can check on their website, dublincity.ie, again, and just tell them where you would like to have those bike parking spaces.
Okay, and just to take Dublin, just as a first example, could you envisage our cycling infrastructure becoming close to how it is in the likes of, you know, the Netherlands and Denmark?
We have a long way to go, but certainly the ambition is there in terms of the city. Last year, the massive Velo City Conference, when 1,400 delegates came to Dublin to deal with cycling and to discuss the cycling issues, I think it gave a massive boost to cycling here in Ireland generally, but particularly in the Dublin area. And certainly the ambition is there in Dublin to make us the if you like, the Netherlands of the country.
Okay, and speaking of greenways, which we touched on earlier, has the one between Ballydoyle and Portmarnock, it has just opened in the last couple of weeks, isn't that right?
Yes, it was great to see it finally opened. It had certainly had problems there in relation to drainage issues. Apparently, some during construction, there was a water pipe that burst, had flooded the route, but it's just fantastic. And obviously, it opened during the very good weather. And people got a really good chance to try it out, and certainly it's part of a major link that will actually go all the way from Sutton along the east coast, and will eventually go all the way to Balbriggan, and that's something that will be great to see. Already the Broadmeadow Estuary, which is basically between Malahide and Donabate, that planning permission for that particular route has been given, and that should go ahead. Work should start in that next year. The work between Portmarnock and Malahide itself, again, that's coming near. It's going through planning at the moment, so hopefully within the next 2 years we'll see some construction on that as well.
Sounds great.
But also, can I say, in the Dublin area, there's a just very soon to open is a section of the Royal Canal Greenway. A really impressive construction project that was done with great communication with the locals and great consultation from Sheriff Street up to Newcomen Bridge on the North Strand, and it really will open that area and to a lot of people in terms of accessing the Royal Canal. It's just a lovely piece of work, of infrastructure, and I'm sure people will be impressed when it does open.
Okay. On a slightly different note, Colin, plans to limit speeds to 30 kilometres per hour on almost all roads in Dublin City and suburbs as well, I believe. They've received cross-party support from Dublin City councillors. What's the current position now on this?
The current position is that it's out to consultation. It's once again on the Dublin City website, dublincity.ie, and you can actually have your say by making a submission on that. We obviously in the Dublin Cycling Campaign are very much in support of the overall principle of the lower speed limits. Lower speeds essentially save lives. They prevent injuries. You'll have less collisions, less incidents on the road where you have lower speeds. And I think in this particular case, essentially Dublin City are very close to what we would call a default 30 kilometre an hour speed limit right through the city. In other words, to reduce car speeds down all over the city. There are a number of routes which will still remain at 50 kilometres an hour. There are quite a significant number of routes where the speeds have been brought down from 80 to 60, from 60 to 50, from 50 to 30. And I think that's a really big statement again by the City Council that they want the city to be more cycling and pedestrian friendly.
Okay, would you agree that the proposal to reduce the speed limit would be in line with, you know, many other European cities?
Yes, there are. Dublin, in fact, in an Irish context, obviously is unique in going for this default 30 kilometre an hour speed limit. But Brussels has probably got the lead on us in that. Around Europe, but certainly there are very few other cities in Europe that would compare with what Dublin is proposing at present.
Okay, and Colm, next Monday, Dublin Cycling Campaign are hosting a public meeting by Zoom. It's next Monday at 13th of July, yes, at 8 p.m. Tell us all about it. Who can attend, how to attend, and what generally will be discussed.
Again, what I would do is just advise people to go on the Dublin Cycling Campaign website at dublincycling.ie, and there they will find the details of the meeting. But you can sign up. It's a Zoom meeting. It's online. Anybody can join in. It's basically ask us about cycling is the title of the meeting, And you can, if you have any issues in relation to cycling, about buying a bike, about being cycling with kids on the bike, about bike theft, about bike safety, all of these issues will be dealt with in an open discussion. And there, we have a number of experts on hand to help people out in these particular cases.
Excellent. Right, so we're going to leave it at that, Colm, unless, of course, anything else you'd like to talk about before we finish?
There's one other issue which I think is going to... We sort of mentioned about schools and school cycling, and we are hoping within the Dublin area, but also we are working on this countrywide, through our countrywide network, in trying to get groups of parents and kids to cycle to school and to try out routes to school in August, during the month of August, before actually going back to school, to see how they feel about it. We're encouraging people to look at routes, helping them out with finding those routes. And again, we will be posting something on that on our website in the near future, which is just being developed at the moment. But it's something that we all in Dublin Cycling Campaign, in Cyclist.ie, the national organisation, that we want more and more kids, children in particular, with their parents, to be able to cycle and walk to school.
That's a very good idea. Colm, thanks again for joining us today. Always a pleasure talking with you, and all the very best to you, and take care.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
You're most welcome. Talk again. Now, that was Colm Ryder, Dublin Cycling Campaign, talking about a number of current issues in relation to cycling.